Stop the World podcast with Jose.
And what's up, guys? It's Ricardo.
Hey, Ricardo. Sorry to get the podcast off to a somber start here, but saw The Dark Knight Rises over the weekend. And Thursday night, I was watching wrestling, and I saw this news story come up about The Dark Knight Rises. Would you like to fill us in on what happened over the weekend, or on Thursday, should I say, at the midnight screenings?
If you don't mind, buddy, first of all, I haven't seen you for a week. So first of all, I want to know, man, how are you doing today, buddy? How was your week, man? Well, let's leave the movie thing aside.
How was my week?
Definitely. Tell me about your week. How's it been, man? Again, I haven't seen you for a week. The last time we sat together was when we recorded our first podcast. So please, man, let me know.
I did listen to our first podcast again.
All right, great.
It was definitely really good. It's really good. I got some people to actually go check it out, and they said it was pretty fantastic, pretty good. But the one thing I want to emphasize, though, is that this week I actually got on my blog again and I actually wrote a blog again. And it felt good because it was almost 2,000 words.
I see. So you're back to blogging, huh?
Back to blogging. And you're actually the one that got me to start over 2 years ago, which is actually very interesting.
Oh, man. So it's all me, man. You know how powerful I feel right now, man? It's all because of me, man. If it wasn't for me, you wouldn't have been blogging.
You know, I think you got me motivated to do it, but I don't think you were the one that actually got me on the computer and said, hey, you know what, Jose? You got to get on the computer. You got to start blogging about your life, what you're doing, what you're up to.
I just gave you that little extra push, huh?
And I just gave it a little update, you know, just to let people where I'm at, what I'm up to.
So check it out, falsefinish.wordpress.com?
Yep, that's correct.
All right. So just check out Jose's blog. I'm sure it's interesting. I haven't read it yet, buddy, but I'll...
Oh, that's okay, man.
I'll definitely check it out. I honestly didn't even know you updated your blog, but I will check it out most likely tonight when I'm at home, spending the night hours away just studying languages and browsing random articles, news articles.
That's good to know.
So my week has been a little hectic, I would say, but in a good way, though, actually. That day after we did the podcast, I got home. I went to the park with my brother, actually, not too far from where we're recording at the moment. We're actually at the Triton Museum in Santa Clara, which is a nice little museum. It's free to get in, and behind it is where we're at right now.
You can see a little horse right there.
Yeah. So, yeah, actually, I played baseball a few times last week, or since we last saw each other. You know, just to get a little exercise in and throw the ball a little bit. My brother's actually planning to join a softball team with his friends and my sister's soon-to-be husband. So it was cool. We threw the ball a little bit, got some exercise in. Afterwards, I helped my girlfriend, Brittany. She's moving from her home to an apartment right across from
San Jose. So how's that process been? Has it been more so comfortable for her? Is it something she's been looking forward to?
Yeah. She's been looking forward to it since she knew it was going to happen. She's been moving things every day. She takes something over there. It's not too far from her parents' house where she resides at the moment. So, yeah, she...
I find it funny, though, because once we get older, we start finding that more independence.
Mm-hmm.
But we kind of stay the same because we want to be close to our family, but then again, it's like, okay, now it's time for me to go out on my own. But some people, it happens sooner than...
Yeah, definitely.
Sooner rather than later.
The funny thing, actually, because we were discussing this, and she's 24, as am I, and you.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And we were talking, you know, it's... When you think about it, though, it's actually not... She's not moving out at a pretty early age, most people, or at least I would say a good chunk of the people in this country, I would say, leave around 18, 19, possibly. You know, they go out and explore.
I think that's pretty young, though, dude, because think about it. At 18, what were you doing? What was I doing? I mean, at 18, I was just starting community college. I thought, man,
right.
I'm gonna be done in, like, what, 3-4 years? But
right, I think it's
obviously,
to do with culture differences, possibly. I know for people that have been here for many generations in terms of their family, I think they sort of adapted to the culture here. That's when you turn 18, you know, it's time for you to go out and explore the world for yourself. That's more independent, I would say.
It's kind of like the golden year, the golden time to 18 and 21, I'm assuming. Because you're legal and then you're legal once again.
Yeah, right.
You're able to do a lot more stuff.
Yeah, so we were laughing at about it because she thought, you know, well, I guess we were discussing whether if it was too young, but we talked about that. And I know some of my friends from high school, they got kicked out of their house, their parents' house, when they were 18, 19 years old.
So she obviously didn't move out. I mean, she obviously didn't get kicked out. She did it voluntarily.
No, she wanted to. She said it was time for her to live out and experience the real world on her own.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've been helping her move. It's been pretty cool, actually. She lives not too far from San Jose State, so she's happy about that. She doesn't have to wake up too early to get to class. She even suggested that I could even, you know, spend the time there if I had a test the next day and I just wanted to sleep in and just get to class. It's a pretty nice little apartment. It's nice. I like it. So I've been doing that and also working.
So that was part of your hectic week?
And I've been, I blogged. I put about 2 blog posts. I'm not sure. If you want to check out my blog, it's at languagewonderlist.com. I've been updating it for about, I think, 3-4 months now regularly. And I've got a pretty good crowd that's following me. And it's mainly has to do with languages and linguistics.
So we got 6 billion people in the world, and you would say you have about, what, like 20 followers, I guess?
25, but you know what? Mm-hmm. They check, they leave me comments, they ask me questions regarding advice on learning languages, which is actually great because over the years, I've had a lot of great people pass down some knowledge to me in terms of, you know, what's the best way to learn languages, and, you know, I have to give thanks to those people. So I think I'm just doing my part and passing down that knowledge that was given to me, which is kind of what this podcast is about, if you think about it, right? Hey, we're passing
loving
down
it,
knowledge.
Man. Loving life.
Yeah, so that's what I'm doing. And also I've been studying Polish, Russian, and improving my German, which I've been doing for a while. It's been great. My blog, I actually write about what I've been doing in those particular languages. So
if you just practice with yourself, it's,
hey man, that's mm-hmm. Yeah, any opportunity you get. Actually, I wrote a blog post talking about time, and we discussed that last podcast, right, where you say, oh, I just don't have any time, oh, I don't have time to do this, oh, I don't have time to do that, right? Well, I wrote a quick blog post about that. Some people liked it, so again, I'm still fairly new on that side. So I hope that'll have potential to grow, and I'll keep updating it and, you know, provide some excellent information that I come across. So yeah, I've been doing that, and I don't know what else I've been doing. Oh yeah, the thing that we wanted to talk about, actually, we wanted to open the podcast with a little bit of news, obviously what's been going on in our lives, right, Jose?
Exactly.
And also what's been going around the world. And as many of you already know, I'm sure, unless you're living in Iraq, which I did for a good amount of time, but that did stop me from...
We'll talk about that some other time.
That didn't stop me from knowing what's going on around the world. So yeah, time to get a little serious here. On Friday morning, right, the new Batman movie came out. A lot of people were excited to see it, right? I'm sure you were.
I was in the line.
Right.
So I was very excited.
Yeah, so, you know, I know a lot of people were waiting several hours before the movie was actually going to be showing at midnight. So, you know, a lot of people didn't think that anything out of the unordinary was going to happen. Except in down over in Colorado. What is it? Aurora, Colorado?
Aurora, Colorado.
Yeah, there was a pretty sad situation that happened, right?
Tragedy, man.
Yeah.
Tragedy.
So can you fill us in a little bit about that, Jose? What did you find about it?
What did I find out about it? Well, I found out that basically this guy was around our age, and he was actually a neuroscience major,
James Egan Holmes.
Who I believe was born in Salinas, and he was going to school in San Diego, correct?
He went to UC Riverside. That's where he got his undergraduate.
But now,
neuroscience.
But now to get his PhD, he's going to San Diego, right?
He was UC. Going to the University of Colorado.
Oh, okay, okay, I see.
Apparently, he was a very intelligent guy, but his grades were actually declining, or rather his performance, which made him drop out of the, or he was in the process of dropping out of the program.
Oh, wow. Smart guy, though. I mean, PhD.
Yeah, but unfortunately, he did something not not that great, actually horrible, evil. And it's a little sad. He, as many people know, he went into the Century Movie Theater in, of course, Aurora, Colorado. He went to Theater 9, right? Number 9.
That's correct.
He actually bought a movie ticket to watch the movie. So yeah, he was already in there, and I guess he sat in the front row as soon as they let people in. And what he ended up doing was he left through the emergency exit, about 30 minutes into the movie, and then he left the door open. I guess he propped it open, the emergency exit, and he had his car parked not too far from the showing that he was watching the movie at. And he came back, he had his weapons and armored, and he also had some, I guess, what were they, smoke grenades or something?
Oh, dude, it's crazy because, that too, and the sad part is that I guess one witness said that she thought it might have been part of the show.
Yeah, right, so he returned, right?
Yeah, and that's correct.
Yeah, you're right, actually, and I was reading an article this morning, actually. Some people, not a lot of people, but there was several people who reported that they immediately from the get-go, they thought that this was not right. Like, they felt threatened by the guy.
Yeah.
And like you were saying, right, most people felt what? Like, it was...
It was part of the show.
Part of the show.
It was part of the movie.
Right. And, you know, they thought it was set up by, you know, whoever was in charge, sort of as a show that they were putting on for the release of the Batman movie, but...
I guess sometimes people just want to draw that fine line between reality and fiction.
Yeah, because you're not... I mean, at that moment, you're not thinking, hey, you know, someone's going to come up and start shooting up the movie, you know, while people are watching the movie. So that's what he ended up doing, and I guess what he did first is after he threw the smoke grenade, he got a shotgun and shot it up in the air first, and then afterwards, he started shooting somewhere at the top of the movie theater, and he started going for people that I guess were on the aisles or were leaving, I guess. So, I mean, that's pretty scary. You know, when that happens, either you have sort of an instinct to either, you know, just duck down, hope for the best, or even try to get out of there. And I guess that's what some people were doing, right?
Run, man. Just run. And the scary part is that this guy had no background whatsoever.
Right. And
whatsoever, man.
Yeah, no criminal background, which
actually... It's a weird world, man. It's a weird world.
Yeah, because after that incident happened, I was reading, because I remember the Virginia Tech incident. I would say that's the more recent incident that was pretty brutal. And the guy who did it, I can't remember his name. Started with a C. But anyways, he had a pretty interesting background. He had a lot of issues psychologically, and I guess it made more sense that he did what he did at Virginia Tech. But this guy, like you were saying, no history, right?
No history whatsoever.
Yeah, and I guess 12 people ended up...
Maybe, possibly, he knew what he did was wrong. He just didn't realize the ramifications.
Right.
I guess people just do stuff just to get noticed.
Yeah, and that's what the guy was doing. And a lot of people were criticizing the... news, I guess, for pretty much putting his picture up on every other article they wrote about the incident. So a lot of people felt like they were giving him what he wanted, and that is a little bit of fame, you know. And I agree. I think they should have focused more on the actual victims, which they actually ended up doing. More recently, if you've seen articles, they talk about...
Yeah, I forgot the girl's name at this point, but she was an enthusiast for the film, and she also worked for a local news station, I believe.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
I believe it was one of the victims. She was our age, actually.
Okay.
And she really wanted to see the movie, and unfortunately, she passed during the shooting.
Yeah, and another interesting part I heard was that I guess one of the victims was this girl who not too long ago was over in Toronto visiting her boyfriend, and she was at the mall, and there was actually a shooting there, which she...
I think that's the same girl, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's all right, buddy. And so I guess she survived that, and I remember she had a quote after that incident saying, you know, something along the lines of, hey, you never know when your time is up, so... You know, I think she said more so, our time on this earth or this place is very limited. And she said that that kind of opened her eyes a little bit about life and, you know, all the things that could happen potentially. And you don't know when your turn is coming, right?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's like the last episode of The Sopranos. It's, you never know when death will hit you. It comes at you like pitch black.
Yeah, and, you know, she goes to watch the movie. She's obviously not thinking, hey, you know, this is going to happen again. And, you know, unfortunately, she just happened to be at the wrong place at the wrong time. And it's pretty sad, I guess. More so, I think all the stories are sad, but I think more so her story, because she's been through it before. And obviously the trauma that might have come from that, you know,
yeah.
And obviously having to deal with it again. And this time not being lucky, you know, it's unfortunate. But yeah, there was 12 deaths, 58 injuries. The youngest killed was a girl by the name of Veronica. She was 6 years old. The oldest was a 51-year-old man by the name of Gordon. And the youngest actual victim, I think it was a girl, I'm not sure, a little girl or a little boy, a toddler actually, an infant rather, 3 months old, was hurt, but from what I understand, survived this incident. So, yeah, that was a tough weekend.
That's good to know, man.
Yeah.
It's good to know. Keep leaving, man.
Right. I mean, I know I've had a great weekend and or rather week, and everything has been going well for me. But, you know, at the same time, you know, hearing these kind of things just sort of make me realize, hey, you know, there's crazy people out there. And hearing that girl's actual quote, you know.
Crazy and unstable.
Right. You know.
Crazy and unstable.
And hearing her quote, you know, our time on this earth is limited. So, you know, enjoy it. Do the things you want to do again.
Silent killers, man. That's what it all amounts to. It's just silent killers, people that you don't know there's something wrong with them, and then
right
one day it just happens.
Yeah, so it's been an eye-opener for me, definitely. I've, again, reinforced my thoughts, or rather this incident reinforced my thoughts on, hey, you know, do what you want to do on this earth, you know, whatever your goals are, whatever your dreams are. Again, you never know, you know, when you're going to leave, and at the same time, you don't want to wake up one day and be full of regret and think, man, I could have done something in my life, you know, something that I wanted to do. And, you know, here you are. It's too late, you know. So I don't know, Jose, what did it do to you, man? Did you feel anything from it? Did you learn anything? I don't know. What's your thought on it, man? Give me.
The one thing I learned is to not be so, I don't know, pessimistic, I guess.
Right, right.
Pessimistic, okay. I guess. So sometimes we just take things for granted.
Yeah.
We kind of appreciate. We kind of have to learn to appreciate those that have helped us or others that we have helped.
Right.
And definitely, the one thing that I noticed this weekend was just how much tragedy can bring people together.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know if it takes that, but I know that the president. I know that several actors from the film actually have reached out to the victims, and they're doing their part. They're
right.
Doing their part. And
yeah.
Even though they're famous, I mean, they're doing their part to say, you know what, I'll be here for you.
I think it was
they may make millions of dollars, but they'll be there for them.
Taken, and they also actually suspended the campaign that was, or at least showing advertisements about the campaign.
Well, that's right on
Obama
yeah.
and Romney. So, you know, I think that was good that they showed respect in that sense, and just, you know, try to focus on the incident and, you know, put politics aside. So I thought that was a good class act right there. And also, like you said, some of the actors, I know, what's his name? I'm sorry. He went and visited some of the victims yesterday. Obama on the 22nd of July. So that's good. You know, like you said, it brings people close together, and definitely class act, you know, and everybody's,
And also the one thing is that just like they're regular people. I mean, I'm sure if something like that happened to them as well, they'd probably be just as grateful as the victims were.
Right. And now that you point that out, I remembered something that actually some of the victims from or rather survivors from Columbine, they actually were present at the I can't remember what it was.
What I find strange, though, too, is that both Columbine and this happened to take place in Colorado.
Yeah.
And it's strange how everything just comes full circle.
Right, yeah. So, you know, we just wanted to bring up that up a little bit and just sort of pay our respects to the people that were victims of this incident. And yeah, right, we just wanted to spend some time on that.
Yep.
All right, so what are we talking about today, Jose?
Today we were talking about the baseball strike of 1994.
All right, and you know what? How did that come out to be? Like, what made you want to do this?
I actually had a good conversation with a coworker of mine who, want to say hi to her. Her name is Claire. And we happen to share the same love for baseball. Me so much more so today than her, because she stopped loving baseball in 1994 because of the strike that happened that year.
Yeah, and I know some of you out there might not be fans of baseball, so you might be tuning out, but hey, stick around. We are actually going to try to connect this. Not try, we will connect it, right?
Exactly, life. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. I think it evolves, or can be, it can, you know, the whatever we're going to talk about can be applied to really almost in different situations in life. So Jose has some interesting things to talk about, so...
So in, what you got, Jose. So in 1994, a lot of what happened was the system needed to change. The small market teams can no longer compete with the big market teams. Right, so like, let's say like, oh, an Oakland A's team that was floundering in 1992,
right,
could possibly be way better than, let's say, a Milwaukee Brewer team.
Okay.
Or like possibly a Red Sox team.
Right.
That had much more or less money.
Okay.
But it was all about the billionaires versus the millionaires.
Right.
It was all about money. And what's funny is that when they went on strike, they lost $700 million without playing a single day of baseball.
Is that for a whole season?
That was actually for almost like half a season, actually.
Oh, half a season. All right.
Yeah, so from like August to like the postseason.
Okay.
And actually, they didn't come back till like late April the next year.
All right.
And you don't want to alienate your fans. Which is what happened. Any sport is going to have fans. So they lost the respect of the fans. They lost respect. They just lost respect everywhere.
So what was the strike basically about? Can you tell us a little bit more
about that? It was basically about the players wanted more power.
Okay.
They wanted the ability to... The owners wanted a salary cap, but the players said no.
Right, right, okay.
Because there was an issue there.
And what's a salary cap for those maybe that...
A salary cap is basically how much money you're allotted for a given team.
Okay. So that applies for all teams in a particular sport, right?
In a particular sport. I believe football and...
No, hockey does have a cap.
Hockey does? Okay.
Right.
So yeah, I wasn't aware of that.
So there's a ceiling, right? That's what they call it?
There's basically a glass ceiling where...
What does that exactly mean?
A ceiling... Basically, they're given there's a certain max that you can't go over, basically.
Right. Oh, okay. So
yeah
so we're just throwing, because yeah, we might throw these,
that's
this
why that's why
so.
In that's why in baseball you always see like, that's why you see these ludicrous contracts being given out, like those 10-year $100 right. million dollar contracts, which are completely ridiculous, but
right uh-huh. Yeah, so we just want to just briefly describe some of this terminology in case we throw it out there for those of you that might not know about this stuff, so you can fit in with us. So
yeah,
so the ceiling again is when you have a salary cap in a sport, is when, like Jose said,
yeah,
the most amount of money that you can spend and you can't go over that, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Is there something that's, I don't know, do they do that in football also, where there's a limit, or rather a minimum that you must spend?
I believe so, yeah.
Right.
I believe so, yeah.
All right, so that's basically a salary cap, right?
Yeah.
It's to help what exactly?
It's to help so that one team isn't competitive or so much more competitive over the other.
So they can't basically buy like all the good players, pretty much.
All the good players, basically, yeah.
In a way.
But that's what baseball was turning into at that point, because you had a certain amount of like awesome players on one team, and then you had a certain amount of really crappy players on another team.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Jose's the knowledgeable guy on this. You just watched a documentary, right? Correct?
It wasn't really a documentary. It was kind of like it was kind of part of the documentary. I don't know if you've ever heard of Ken Burns' Baseball 20th Century.
No, I haven't.
It actually went into really... It didn't really go into the details because they didn't really want to bore us with all this terminology.
Right, right.
And what happened was that they bombarded like fans with all this knowledge, all this terminology that, okay, now I'm just losing my sense of disbelief. Because you don't want to go behind the scenes and say, like, man, like, why? What are they fighting over? They're just fighting over money.
Right.
And it was completely ridiculous at that point. And before, when I was younger, I used to believe, man, they're doing this because they love it. They want to play.
All right, okay.
They want to give their all.
Yeah.
But then when you saw the strike, it was like, it kind of lost its innocence.
Okay.
It lost that you want to believe because these guys are heroes to us.
Right.
These guys are heroes. But then what happened is, okay, now they're playing the victims in their own story because they're fighting with the owners over how much money they want.
I see what you mean. So at first they sort of served as role models in a way for the younger audience out there. Yeah. You know.
And I don't want to like go off track here, but then that kind of ties into how athletes, do they really serve as role models if they're just fighting over money?
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Do they play the game the right way?
I see. So because of the strike, fans in general, like you were saying, were starting to lose respect for the players because then they started to get the idea that, hey, you know, maybe they're not really doing it so much for the fun, but rather for the money of it.
Yeah.
You know, the money aspect of it.
Yeah.
I see.
Uh-huh.
And why do you think, or is there a reason why they were wanting more money? What was the situation back then? Do you know, in terms of the salary, and was it reasonable for them to live?
I would guess it was just more greed, more money, more things that they wanted in their house.
I see.
And a lot of it, I think, too, had to do with the sharing the revenue, too, because if one team earned more than another,
right,
then it wasn't fair. It wasn't fair among the teams. But that's what the owners wanted. But the players didn't want that.
Oh, okay.
The players did not want that. And yeah. I find that very interesting because if the owners, and the players would have settled down and they would have said, hey, you know what? We're going to sit down and we're gonna get this over with. It would have been much more. It would have been cleaner. I think it would have saved the sport of baseball.
So you think that they should have gone with a salary cap instead of what they have now, which is what happened actually? Like, did they actually get a salary cap, or what's the situation?
No, they actually didn't get a salary cap. It actually stayed the way it was. They just got a new collective bargaining agreement, basically.
I see. And there's also the luxury tax, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
And that's what you're going to be discussing as well, I believe, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Basically, the luxury tax is something that allows teams to be taxed for going over a certain limit of money that they spend. So two teams that actually want to get under the luxury tax is the Red Sox and the Yankees.
I see.
Who spend, I believe, over $180 million.
Wow.
Yeah, and this luxury tax actually goes to the Industrial Growth Fund, which actually goes towards player benefits, and it's to develop baseball around the world.
Right. So just to get a comparison, what is the salary difference between teams now that are, let's just say, like the poor teams that have the lowest payroll versus those that have, you know, the highest paying, or the highest paying team?
Ooh, man, I think at one point, I don't know if it's true anymore, but I remember the Yankees at one point, like 2005, 2006, around there, they were like, I believe their payroll was like $200 million. And ours was like the Oakland A's. Sorry, I didn't say ours. Sorry. Oh, the Oakland A's was like, oh, I want to say before it was like 50, 60 million.
Right. And
they've had, I believe, the lowest payroll for almost 10 plus years now. I think it's like 17 years.
All right. Okay. So we're A's fans, actually. I think we should throw that out there, too. So.
Yeah, not to be biased, but, you know, baseball is a good
sport. Hey, maybe that's why we have so much anger, huh?
I wouldn't say we have anger. I would say we have sort of,
hey, you know, because they've been lousy for the past, what, 6 years?
Yeah, something like that.
Made in 2006.
Oh, man.
But they're doing good right now.
Hey, they're doing good right now.
All
right. Yeah.
Sorry, guys. We got a little off
track. Yeah, we got a little off track there.
It's all good. Okay, so I guess continue talking to us, Jose, about the luxury tax and just the whole aspect of the strike and how do you think it impacted baseball? Do you think people?
I think it impacted baseball because it kind of made fans think like, okay, these guys are just like greedy. They want more money. And it kind of made them think like, is baseball really a sport anymore? Or is it just a business now?
Right.
Is the national pastime just money now?
I see. So it's no longer you're saying sort of like a sport for anybody to go watch, right? Because I'm guessing to go watch a baseball game, it costs a lot of money.
It costs a lot of money now,
right?
Yeah. I guess, well, see, the thing is, too, is that the game got a lot cleaner.
Right.
Because when I watched baseball, like, you would see guys like, you would see guys like Mike Piazza, Barry Bonds, Javi Lopez, mm-hmm. Gary Sheffield. You would see those guys hit, like, 40, 50 home runs.
I see.
And I guess that was kind of like the gateway to see, like, home runs being hit all the time.
Right. So, I guess what's interesting is, it seems to me that, I guess, after the strike,
yeah,
the baseball strike, a lot of fans decided to boycott baseball, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And what's the state of it now? Obviously, it's pretty popular.
I think attendance is rising. Right? Attendance is rising, and back then it was actually declining.
So why do you think it's been rising instead of declining? If people were so against the strike, or at least the fans were trying to boycott it because they saw the greed aspect of it, of the game, like, what made you think, or what do you think got fans to actually keep watching baseball and not, as a matter of fact, you know, the help the game in a way, and something did. I don't know, because obviously the attendance is pretty high.
So to address the first part is,
right,
the difference now between now and then,
mm-hmm,
is that now it's, we already know, because time passes and it, you know, it heals people's old wounds.
Forgotten. I see what
people
you
have forgotten. And it's a different generation now.
Right, right.
I mean, obviously, like, kids that were watching it back then were, like, what, so 10 years old.
Right.
So now they're almost 30.
Okay.
They might have moved on. They might have gone on to do different things. They might have gone into a different sport. They might have just focused on school. They might have just focused on whatever, whatever their hobbies are.
Do you think they sort of also use the tactic of, I mean, you remember during the late 90s, early 2000s, there was that period of home runs where Sammy Sosa and
McGuire and Griffey,
the home run race.
Yeah, uh-huh.
So do you think that
actually, I think, saved baseball. So not to say that I condone steroid use. It's just I just think that saved baseball big time.
Here's an interesting thing, actually. Do you think that MLB was okay with the players using steroids because that's what the impact it had? It improved the attendance. People were excited to go see these guys, Sammy Sosa, McGuire, Griffey, you know, hit these home runs. Do you think that's?
I believe that it was known around baseball.
This just wasn't.
I believe it just wasn't cracked down upon because, okay, if you have a good thing going, if your attendance is rising, if your merchandise sales are going up,
right?
If people want to come to your team to play,
mm-hmm,
if that happens, then obviously you're doing something right.
Mm-hmm. All right.
You're doing something right. Like, I remember when I started watching baseball, it was like, you had all these guys, you had all these mashers. I think the most home runs I've seen hit, like, in the past, like, 5 years is probably, like, 50 by, like, Alex Rodriguez and Jose Bautista.
Bautista, right.
Yeah.
So it's been kind of in a decline. You don't have those power guys.
I forgot the last time I saw. Yeah.
What was that year again where it was pretty much what they called the year of the pitcher? Was it 2010 where?
Oh, I think since
2009?
I think 2010 when, remember when Dallas Braden pitched that no-hitter and then Verlander pitched. Did he pitch two no-hitters that year,
you know,
or just
one? I think he did. My knowledge has been a little vague.
Because I don't know if pitchers have gotten smarter. I don't know if hitters have gotten dumber.
Or is it because they've been cracking down on steroids, right?
I don't know. It's ridiculous because a lot of pitchers' ERA, I mean, the wins aren't the same,
mm-hmm,
but a lot of the pitchers' ERA has, like, been between, like, 2-3, which is absolutely ridiculous.
Right.
Yeah, which is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, so it's...
I think pitchers are just, like, more... I think they're finer tuned now.
Yeah.
I think they're finer tuned now.
So, going back with the strike again, do you... Like, what's your... What else would you like to add on it? What do you think? Do you think that it's fine that MLB only sort of is fine with having the luxury tax and not having a cap? Or do you think it's something that they should really consider at the moment? Or do you think it's working? Do you think it's fine and fair for other teams?
Well, see, that's the kind of it's kind of a toss up, because you can have teams that have a lot of money,
mm-hmm,
i.e. the Cubs.
Right.
They've spent a lot of money over the past few years. I mean, obviously they had Alfonso Soriano, Kosuke Fukudome,
right,
I believe. They spent a lot of money on those two players.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can have a team like the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Right.
I mean, I could barely name like three Pirates.
Right.
But they're competing right now.
They're competing, right.
They're competing.
Yeah.
Or you can look at another team like the San Francisco Giants.
Right.
They have a few young players that obviously get it done for them.
Right.
and they're still winning. But you just look at the teams that spend a lot of money. Sometimes it just doesn't work out for them.
Doesn't work out, right? Otherwise, yeah. Again, it's true that money doesn't really win championships. Otherwise, the Red Sox and the Yankees would have pretty much dominated the World Series in this past decade. But obviously, that hasn't been the case. So I think Billy Beane put it good, right? Put it well said.
Yeah.
Where once you go to the playoffs, it's pretty much what
a crapshoot.
Crapshoot, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole different season, pretty much. Everybody starts from scratch. And anything can happen, right? I mean, look at the Cardinals. What year was it where they were one of the worst divisions?
2005.
Yeah, won, I think, like, what, 83, 84
2005
games?
Or 2006? Oh, 2006, actually. Never
I think, mind. Yeah, 2006. Yes, the year that they lost to – or actually, they won. They beat the Tigers.
Yeah, I thought the Tigers would have taken that one.
Yeah, and so, again, you know, you're right. It's true that –
I no, what's funny is that I think their number four starter wasn't even on the playoff roster, who I think was Jeff Suppan at the time. Yeah, which is absolutely – or you can look at another team. Look at the Tampa Bay Rays. They made the World Series in 2008.
Right.
I mean, even though they didn't win it.
They were a small market team, yeah. Right? But
– oh, and plus their attendance is horrible.
Right. So it's
horrible.
Like it's like the A's, our team, you know, they – attendance is pretty bad. The salary or team salary is always pretty much last. They don't spend money on retaining their good players. They let them walk.
But why do you think the ticket prices are so low?
Yeah, that's, you know, I guess it's in a way, if you're a dedicated fan, I guess you sort of win in this situation because, hey, you know, you go to watch an A's game, they pretty much reserve the entire place for you just about. I mean, a whole section can be just for you, you know.
Preferably a day game, though, don't you think?
Yeah, a day game, you know, even night games, so you see it pretty empty. Heck, you know, even you know what else they do because they like you so much as an A's fan?
What do they do?
If you want to go buy some food, guess what? There is no line, man.
Maybe they're in the first inning.
Yeah, the first inning, but they pretty much, they reserve a whole concession stand just for you. You know, has your name right there. This is for Jose, the Ace fan. And that's why there's no line, man. Of course I'm being
Can I just add I'm this joking, though? Can obviously. I just can I just add
yes,
this
sir,
though is that
please.
Okay. The national pastime is probably no longer baseball. It's just money.
Right, you mentioned that in the
Yeah, it's just
right?
it's
I guess we got a little off track here.
It's
so.
Not ridiculous. It's kind of just it's just the way it is.
Yeah, so
I mean, you see all these advertisements on in the stadiums. It's all about money, man.
Right. So, I guess since we sort of strayed off the main theme, which is okay, you know, hey, we'll explore further into it. But just give us, tell us what do you think or how do you think that this ties into other things in life, since this is basically what we wanted to eventually do.
Well, I for one believe that I want to make three main points here.
Okay.
I want to tie this in because, for one, we're doing this because we love it. We're not getting paid to do this.
Right.
At all. No. We want to do this because we love it. We want to engage our minds. We want to give topics that help people think. And even if you're just heck, if you're going to the gym, you're doing some cardio.
Yeah. So
you're just walking somewhere. Doesn't matter.
So you're trying to compare, I guess, somebody playing something that they're passionate about, and that is a sport.
Yeah.
And comparing it to somebody like us who, you know, two guys that are passionate about podcasting, you know, and
passionate about life, my friend.
Even life, man, yeah. But I guess I'm going more for the actual activity, you know. Why are you trying to say that, you know, these people are wanting to get paid for something that they initially loved because it was a game that they enjoyed?
Mm-hmm. That's true.
But it sort of changed.
Mm-hmm.
People are sort of prefer to do things as they get older only for the money, in a sense.
Yeah, I think that comes with age, though, is that you
right.
kind of just do things for money.
I see.
And
so once we become, like, famous with this podcast and we become millionaires with all the ads and stuff.
I don't want to say that.
should we like, basically defend our decision to do that later on, or should we just call ourselves hypocrites right now?
Oh,
now,
you know
of
what?
Course, I'm assuming
we can,
that we're going to be
famous. We can do both. I mean, I
don't know if we're going to be famous.
I really don't care. If the money comes, that's great. I mean, that'd be a great supplement.
Right. Hey, but you never know, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure A-Rod wasn't thinking maybe, I don't know.
Oh, you mean when he was like 19 years old, getting ready to come up to the Mariners?
Or like 5 years old and he was playing baseball. Maybe he was thinking, you know, I'm going to be famous one day, you know? And shoot, maybe he even criticized people that were rich and doing it only for the money.
I'm sure a lot of people do that, though.
Right?
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people do that, though.
Hey, we're just bitter, right? You think we're just bitter?
No, we're not bitter, Ricardo. Come on.
You know, I'm just joking. I like to just... I don't know.
Yeah.
Just try to throw some comedy on there. So what else do you think you can relate this incident with baseball and it turning into a business instead of a hobby for people and something that they do for passion? Well, what else can you tie this with and you could tell people out there?
The second point I want to make is that we can tie this in, this whole baseball strike, into how sometimes in life we just fight over the dumbest things.
Right.
I guess for no reason, because we're afraid to. We're sometimes afraid to compromise. I guess
compromise.
Yeah, sometimes we're afraid to compromise to actually come together and say, you know what, you're right, I'm wrong, or I'm wrong and you're wrong. It go both ways.
I see.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, and last point is, it's just a sport, you guys. Don't take it so seriously.
Right.
Yeah. Don't let it affect your mood, I guess.
That's true.
Yeah.
And I think one other thing that I would like to just elaborate on,
yeah,
which is one of the first things that you pointed out.
What?
If there's something out there that you like to do, or rather do things because you want to do them, because it's something that you like, don't be afraid. Try not to go more so for the money, because I think you're going to end up hating it if you're just in it for the money. I guess it's kind of like when people, you know, they're going to school, right? Their parents tell them, hey, you know, you should be a doctor. Or, you know, they push them to do something mainly for the financial aspect of it, which is understandable. You know, obviously you want your kid to be well off, but at the same time, you don't want to push them to do something that they might not be truly interested in. And it's just something that you want them to do based, again, by the prestige that it brings to them. So... you know, for you and I, for example, we're studying things that obviously I would say aren't going to make us, you know, rich or give us that financial.
You mean really rich?
Financial.
Are we talking like 1%? What is it again? It's like 1% of the world or something holds like.
Pretty much, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, right. Because you're majoring in psychology, correct?
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing linguistics, and let's be honest, these are things that if you really want to make a good living, you got to continue going to school.
Yeah, I believe that you're always going to go to school, man.
And yeah, we're passionate about it, right?
You
love
exactly,
psychology.
Yeah.
I love linguistics, and that's what made us want to continue
pursuing it. Yeah,
you know, our path towards that. And
uh-huh.
That's what I would give as an advice. You know, I do things. Do things because you like to do them. But I don't think that you should completely throw the financial aspect aside. Because let's be realistic. You don't want to do something and not get money in return. And let me tell you why. Let's be honest, though. In this society, what do you need to survive?
Money, food, and shelter and clothing.
Right. So you got to be, in some sense, realistic and say, hey, you know, I at least have to bring...
Well, money gets you those three things, sorry.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But of course, I'm not saying, you know, do things because you want to have a huge house and actually like 20 houses and 3 cars. And
dude, I only want one, dude. What are you talking about?
And like, who was that one guy that wanted an elevator garage, car garage?
Jeez, I don't know.
It was one of the candidates, presidential candidates.
Was it Romney?
No, it was a Republican, but I forgot his name. It wasn't Romney. It was the other guy. But anyways, that was just funny. He wanted to get an elevator.
Jeez, I really want one now, man.
Hey, man, you know what? Go for it, man. Why not?
Yeah, it's life, right?
Yeah, but anything else you want to add to it, my friend?
No, just the those three things I pointed out. I think it sums it up nice. You know, it's just a sport, you guys. You have to remember that that's what it is. And even though we fight in life, we sometimes have to come to compromises. And last but not least, the national pastime is now money. Always remember that.
But it's all right, guys. Don't worry. There's always a bright future out there. You just have to be informed, I suppose. What do you think?
All right, buddy. I love it.
All right.
I love it.
All right, guys. So this segment was brought to you by Jose. He's the one that came up with it. And we'll just finish it off on this note just to, I guess, give you guys out there what we plan for the future and how we plan to structure this podcast, right? So we decided to do what every week to switch?
Well, we're going to switch it off every week. 1 week he gives a segment, Ricardo, and then 1 week I do it. And that's the way it's going to go.
Yeah, and so next week I'll have something prepared. I'll pick a topic, something to discuss that we can all relate to. And we will, again, start off by just giving an update
on our weeks, our
life, what's going on in our amazing and boring lives.
I wouldn't say they're boring. They're just boring to other people. They're very interesting to us, though.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. So that's it.
Yeah. Anything else?
I would say that is it. And we got to cut it here because there's a crowd gathering over here. They're, like, watching us like we're crazy because we're at the park. I already mentioned it.
And Ricardo.
We switched. Awesome, man. Thanks. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. Look out for next week's episode.
Thanks, bud.